Live from Oasis Bar and Grill, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling on. Don't forget, Mondays we're over at Ellis Island, good spot for Halloween. They're going to be doing a Rocky Horror Picture Show over in the front yard. October 30th, 8 o'clock start. Screening of the cult classic horror and comedy. Man, that movie's almost 50 years old. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Sing along, shout along. Make sure you book your table now in the front yard. You go to EllisIslandCasino.com up on the web. You can also go and dress up. I might be there. I think the SO wants to go to that one. Significant Other is very fired up. What do you do for Halloween?
Typically not much.
We had a discussion today, myself and the lady friend. I don't think I'm going to be back in time, and I fell behind on decorating. So, but here's the good news. That gives me more time to start on Christmas.
That is good news.
I will roll out the initial decorations for Christmas on... Am I here? Yes, actually, it is a bye week for UNLV football, and UNLV basketball doesn't start until 3 days later. Christmas boxes, crates, all get torn apart. Maybe Halloween night.
What?
Yes.
Wow. So
if
typically,
you're gonna put it up, you got to max it out. Max out the time.
A lot of people would argue with you.
I know
this.
A lot of people would. They're like, give Thanksgiving respect. Like, it gets respect with Christmas lights. And Christmas blow-ups and whatever else.
I really don't mind. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Whatever makes you happy.
I'm good to hear. That's the most important thing on this show. Griffin has not been around for the holidays either. We have a lot of Grinches. I am not a Christmas season Grinch. I love the season. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
So the WNBA season ended the other day. I don't mean to mock on the league, but I think a lot of people didn't know it ended. The timing of, I said the other day, the timing of banging out your championship game on a Sunday evening against the NFL and a baseball game. Why are you mad?
I'm mad because I would have liked to watch it by itself, and instead I'm flipping back and forth watching NFL, baseball, and a little bit of WNBA, especially going into overtime. That's when I really jumped in. But I would have enjoyed the entire game if it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday standalone here.
What do you think about the end? Cheryl Reeve completely flipped out the Lynx coach.
Yeah.
Dirty pool? I mean, she was alleging some pretty serious stuff.
Yes, she was. I don't know.
You don't have to be objective. You're a Sport Talk host. Did you think it was messy at the end and advantageous for the Libs?
A little bit.
Wow, okay. I've heard more, I've heard enough people say this now. I'm like, what the hell was going on that night?
But
not a good look for the league. Now, that said, I don't think the league gets enough attention that it's going to do permanent damage, but
yeah,
not a good look.
I just don't want to take away from the Liberty either because, I mean, that was the best team all year long, mm-hmm. and they've been up there the last couple years, their first ever franchise championship, and it was well-deserved. Those players work hard, so... You know, and now that takes away from it. So,
well, I will tell you this. The league has made progress in reaching the level of coverage with ridiculous clickbait. The more I looked into this WNBA Players Association opting out of the deal, work stoppage possible, this is absurd. First of all, the timing on the news. The deal is through the end of next season.
Right.
Like, we're not in some crunch here under pressure. And what they said was... reasonable. They want to get a better examination of the monies that are being brought in, and maybe there'll be a stark reality like, hey ladies, the league does not make any money. There is no pie to split up. I don't think that's the case, though, and I certainly don't think if the TV deal that was reported months ago, which was upwards of like $2.2 billion, there is hundreds of millions of dollars coming to the league per year. Obviously, they have to get a better deal on that and get more of the money and more of the merchandising. Where is the league? Because I hear, like, it's losing tons of money. We were talking about Jason Whitlock saying the league is broken. They don't even market their best player or the, you know, the favorite fan player in Caitlin Clark. Lots of other players aren't likable. Is the league healthy in an upward trend or not?
I think it is. I would definitely say it's an upward trend. I mean, just the viewership this past year is incredible. And the amount of fans that are going to games and buying tickets. And they had to move from their smaller arenas to bigger. So, I think you have to say it's on the up.
And, by the way, the numbers. Hey, Griffin, do you have those numbers in front of you? I know for the finals they had done, doing this off the top of my head, 1.14 million for game one, 135 for game two, 139. By the way, I generally lie when I say off the top of my head. This time it actually is. I don't know why I remember these, but it was because it was part of a bet. Actually, it was a bet going back to the semis with Willie Ramirez, so I tweeted that out the other day, so it's seared on my memory. But 1.14, 135, 139. What did game five do?
Game five of the WNBA Finals drew in 2.15 million Ooh. Viewers on Sunday okay. night.
So it absolutely did set records. There may be an argument that 2.15, if Caitlin Clark were involved, might have been 3.5. But it's all progress, and it is the best players in the league, the veterans who helped lift it up. I think they got a massive boost from Caitlin Clark and a little bit of a boost from Angel Reese. So I don't know. That looks healthy to me. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know why they're losing money. I'm not a business expert. I'd like to see it broken down. It seems like if it's not healthy, it's in a good direction to get healthier. Number three.
Number three.
All right, big night in hockey. Why?
It's a frozen frenzy. Every team is playing.
Everyone plays.
Yes.
What's your favorite part about this? Are you, by the way, I don't even know, are you a late night person in terms of sports viewing? Are you a morning person? You're up the crack of dawn to watch hockey?
I'm a morning person, yeah. Okay.
And by the way, we're not talking about a 24-hour thing here. I was making it into the college basketball frenzy that they do. But this is actually a good night for this.
It is.
They picked the right time.
And it's kind of like the red zone, right, that you can watch on Sunday where they try and get you every time a team's in the red zone and they're about to score. Now the games start to cross over, and they'll go to each game as there's a goal made. So it's a lot of fun. It brings eyes to hockey, which I think is growing as well. And, yeah, it is a good time. There's just two NBA games competing, two college football games, Conference USA, but, yeah.
Damn it, college football is starting to expand 6 days a week. I don't mean this year. This is the time of year where you're going to start seeing games on almost every night, which for Alex, who is a much heavier better than I am, and a lot of you folks out there listening, that is a good thing. Number two.
Number two.
I think this is a good story, but even Alex tagged it with manufactured. And what I'm talking about is NBA opening night. We got Wolves and Lakers. Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. will be in the building to potentially see LeBron James and Bronny play in the same game in the NBA. I think the potential is pretty much a guarantee, right? Don't you think LeBron, well, J.J. Redick on LeBron's orders and Maverick Carter's orders, we'll say get him in the game early, and then we'll worry about the rest of the game. He's going to play.
Yeah, I think that the doubt or conversation about whether or not it is, I think you were right. I think it's pretty guaranteed now.
And why manufacture?
That's the whole thing, right? When you think back and you think about Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. and being the first to play baseball together, father, son, like that is a feel-good kind of historic thing. When we think back about this night and Bronny and LeBron James playing, are we going to have that same feeling? I just don't know, because it has been very forced. Didn't just, like, happen on its own.
What part is forced? Bronny being pushed into the league and the Lakers doing the James family a favor?
Yes.
Okay. The Bronny part of it is forced. And I think a lot of this depends on what you think of LeBron and his accomplishments. LeBron made this possible by being a super freak.
That's true.
Because in baseball, have we seen many guys play into their 40s? Yes. In baseball, yes, it happens. In basketball, when does it happen? And because LeBron James, like I said, is a freakazoid who's keeping himself in good shape, however he does that. We don't have to be all cynical about that, but he's a modern marvel, and the fact that he is still a really good player in the NBA, can be the head of a franchise at 40 years old and had a child early on, that part of it you can't argue with.
No, you can't argue
and
with that.
And that
at all.
Should be celebrated. I know no. Lots of people, I don't want to say no one, lots of people don't want to celebrate LeBron, but his longevity is awe-inspiring.
Absolutely. I don't want to take that away either. But does that mean that he gets to make any role he wants and his son can be on the court with him and playing for a professional team? That's where it gets a little tricky, but it's...
I'm excited. I think it's cool, and I mean, is it? Well, no, I don't want to say that. I was going to say, isn't this just... the Griffey's in reverse, but no, that would be dissing Ken Griffey Sr. too much.
Yes.
Ken Griffey Sr. was a legit, you know, fourth outfielder for a pretty long career. And again, a guy who played into his late 30s, early 40s. He was a good player. If it was in reverse, then obviously Sr. never would have made it 20-plus years into a career and stayed on Major League rosters.
And listen, Bronny is LeBron James' son. He's got natural talent, right, and probably great work ethic. So he could end up making it in the league and playing for a few years, but that's kind of what
I guess the equivalent would be Ken Griffey Jr. coming up to make sure he did it before Ken Griffey Sr. is done, and like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. is at A ball and hit 180, and they're like, oh, we gotta do this. Like,
yeah,
he was freaking awesome. And again, on the opposite end of the spectrum, kind of just like LeBron, being able to play Major League Baseball at 19 years old and be that good in his early 20s, I mean, that's why he is an all-timer. Number one.
Number one.
I cut you off. What else?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So all of that feel good, right? All-time legends of longevity or getting their career started at 19 years old. Do we have to talk about Aiden O'Connell? Do we have to talk about Gardner Minshew? Do we need to discuss Desmond Ridder? This other cat, Carter Bradley? They're not all ready to go for the Raiders, but that is the quarterback mix.
That is.
What in God's name has happened really since last season? Whose idea was this?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Willie and I went back and forth yesterday because I said Antonio Pierce has been set up with a real raw deal here. And he was suggesting that AP had a say in approval of what the quarterback room would look like. I don't believe that. They may have run it by him, but ultimately I think management and Mark Davis were going to do what they wanted. This is what a freaking motley crew.
Yeah. They're all about even, too. Right? Well, you don't have really.
I don't know if Desmond. You know what, actually? I think if you did a quarterback ratings list, and Chris Sims actually did a good one, and I pointed out repeatedly in the month of August that Minshew was ranked 39th. He did a top 40. He was 39th. That's your starting quarterback. The backup's not even in the top 40, and obviously Desmond Ridder wasn't going to be in the top 50 coming into the season, but that's where they're dealing with now. What are you going to do from a handicapping standpoint?
Ooh,
can you ever play them?
It's really tough. No, this past weekend was a good spot, I guess, taking the points there with Rams team that is dealing with a lot of injuries, and we did see them cover that spread. Their defense is still good, and you were kind of talking about the Chiefs and making that work, but that's also they have Patrick Mahomes on the offensive side, so it's a lot different. It's tough.
A lot more show coming at Oasis Bar and Grill, Decatur, South of Trop. Cool prizes, Kevin Hart tickets, Cypress Hill tickets, UNLV Boise tickets, but you got to stop in before 6. Come and see us, watch the show, grab some dinner.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
You ready? You getting bourbon? You getting whiskey? What are you doing?
Ooh.
Got the holding the bottles up? I can't see what the bottles are. I think they're. No? You're out? Come on.
I'm out.
This is...
maybe 6 o'clock.
I have no experience with this, but it's... It's a great bar here at Oasis, and every once in a while, you can do a shot. Every once in a while. Right? Angel in the background. Woo! Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Anytime. Not only is the breakfast 24/7, the drinks are flowing.
Ooh.
24/7. So, great place, Decatur, just south of Trop. We're going to talk to Sammy P, get some gambling angles. Alex White is here. Of course, we're getting gambling angles from her. NBA season's opening up tonight. Knicks. We'll tip here in about 10 minutes, and Knicks are actually a top six choice to win the NBA title. They made the run in the playoffs last year. They've got an incredible player leading the franchise, and they added Carl Anthony Towns, but they're going to be in Boston against the defending champs, so glamour matchup there. And we were just talking about LeBron and Bronny probably playing together for a few minutes tonight as, you know, Minnesota's another real player in the Western Conference, and Lakers for the title, I think, at least the number I looked at today, are sitting at 30-1. They were a little higher than that, or I guess lower, whatever you want to say it. Lakers, where do they have to get to in terms of dropping where you're like, you know what, I'll take a shot.
Oh.
You won't?
I don't
what
think
a reaction.
So. I don't think so.
No?
The West is loaded. I don't know.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And, again, we were talking about injury durability. Let's see what, you know, while we were just raving about LeBron making it to 40 years old. Reality is he's 40 years old, and he's always healthy, but maybe this could be the year that he falls apart. He's not ready for the playoffs. We know AD is a crapshoot in terms of timing and his injuries.
Yeah, what about that preseason game against Golden State? AD comes out of the game, and they have no answers defensively, so that definitely worries me for the Lakers. What about the Knicks? Are you buying them this year?
No.
No.
But I'm kind of biased. I'm not a good person to ask about the Knicks. I don't like them. So as a fan, I kind of ruined my take on my opinion of the Knicks.
I thought there was some revenge from playoffs, and it's funny because I kind of just forgot about the Pacers there in the middle that actually beat the Knicks and then lost to
and they're absolutely an upside team.
Yeah.
Right? And they weren't even healthy last year.
No, they were not.
One of their best scorers was out for the second half of the season. All right, so back to the NFL. So we're just about at the halfway point, a little short of it, with 17 games now in the regular season. The Cowboys have been a mess. And, like, normally we call them a mess, and they're still trucking their way along to 12 wins.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like a team that's going to bounce back hard and win 12 games. I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs, but, you know, it's funny. Griffin, and I'm sure the answer is no here. Yesterday when I was talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies over the weekend, did I pique your interest in going back and watching anyone in that show?
As in just watching that, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show itself?
To learn about the artist. Maybe they played live. You get to see them.
A little bit.
These were mostly people who are 68 to like 85 years old.
The way you were describing these old artists jiggling up there up on stage, that one piqued my interest a little bit because I was like, ooh, they are old and they're just still trying to get it. But honestly, the stories too, you were talking about Ozzy. You were talking about all the crazy stuff he did back in the day. That kind of piqued my interest as well to learn more about him.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch a documentary on him or watch it on Motley Crue. He's a lunatic, but he's kind of paid the price because he's an old 74. Part of my discussion and actually my fascination with it was I always get a kick out of great old artists who can still sing because, like, the strain on your voice when you're at your peak and you're living like a lunatic, sometimes you need a miracle from above to be able to sing when you're 70 years old. Most people are going to fade a little bit, and there were more than a few people who I mentioned. Sammy Hagar, 77 years old. He can still sing pretty well. Dionne Warwick did one of her songs by herself. She did pretty well. She's not what she was years ago. She's 83 years old. And then there were people like Ozzy and others where you're like, they just can't do it anymore. My whole point here is people age at different rates. I'll give you another personal example. I just got a chance to hang out with my parents for like 5 days. My parents are both 80 now. We went on a vacation where you have to walk a lot. And they did pretty well. Like, I'm always pleased when I see them and I'm like, okay. Like, they're getting around pretty good. In the NFL, when you look at different owners, you're like, how are they aging? And I feel like Jerry Jones has gone from like 80 to 100 years old in a year and a half. Like, he was always a little kooky and always a little overbearing. I don't really know if he knows what he's saying anymore. And I used to give him credit. You know, he's sly like a fox, sly as a fox, whatever. He's doing it for a reason. He just seems to be babbling week by week.
Right.
And it's absolutely not productive.
Was there more besides him trying to get the radio host fired? Or is that the that's
well, that
the
was
latest.
That was one of the middle things. There was something early in the season where you're like, what are you even saying? I thought a lot of the stuff last year where he was getting after Dak Prescott and expressing some doubt if he was the franchise quarterback. Then we go through the whole summer.
Yeah.
We get to the beginning of the season, and it was like the quietest thing ever. Dak re-signed, $55 million a year, four-year extension. Like, wait, he just set up the whole year sort of bashing him and blaming him for the shortcomings in the playoffs, and then you're like, oh, here's the money. What was the end game?
Right.
And, yes, first of all, last week was foolish, and he really doesn't – I think a lot of wealthy people, their daily life is filled with do what I want or go blank yourself or you're fired. And that doesn't always work in the real world where everyone doesn't work for you. Right?
Right.
Like I, as a radio person, I don't work for Jerry Jones. I don't care what he says. Now in the Dallas market, it's a little bit different and interesting. I'm sure he could call up and flex his muscle and maybe get people in trouble. I will tell you what I know of the Dallas sports radio market. It is pretty boisterous. It's pretty powerful. I don't think the hosts are afraid of anyone. That's why they do really good sports radio there. Traditionally, like the highest rated station forever, the Ticket and the other stations there are good. And you're right. He went on. I wasn't here last week to talk about this. So
yeah.
Luckily I didn't do it the day of because I would have flipped out because I'm not a big fan of bullies. And when you start talking about people's jobs and trying to intimidate them, that sends me over the edge. But Jones last week basically said without saying it, like, hey, watch what you're asking me here. I could have your head. Well, the reaction for once was actually on the side of the radio person, the media person. Because right now, Jerry Jones doesn't have a ton of equity. They don't win Super Bowls. They look really bad this year. And I think more and more people are coming to the realization, like a lot of us had years ago. I'll tell you, one of the most eye-opening things, Alex, was watching. There was a reality show. It was on Amazon. It was, you know, tracking the season. And I could not believe how involved Jerry Jones is on a daily basis.
That makes it very hard for everybody in that organization
right?
That's trying to do their job.
Football's hard. Week to week, you got to recover. Everyone's getting better. The other organizations are getting better. Not all of them, but some of them are getting better. And to have, like, 77-year-old Jerry Jones in the room, like, I don't care what your opinion is, bruh. Get out. You hired me to be the football expert. But, yeah, he went on last week, and I'm almost 99% sure that is a paid appearance that he has done forever. I think it's on 105.3, not the fan, but whatever, in Dallas. And he got all snooty and snippy and threatened the host. And then in following up this week, he goes, I'll tell you, I'm surprised that last week got the attention it got. When I think about what we try to do on the show, those weekly appearances are really a privilege. Well, they're paid. You cannot do them. You're doing them because you're paid or it's part of an overall station deal. Like, you're right. It is kind of cool to talk to an owner.
Right.
If he's going to be forthcoming. But if you're going to threaten his job, it ain't that cool.
It's interesting, too, because he made a comment like the fans can question what he does. So maybe he was trying to get them to have his back, but then saying that the radio host can't. But it's like that's literally their job to ask the question.
This is another great example of the problem with billionaires. They are so far away from the average person. They have no clue what average Joe thinks. They're not going to side with you right now, Jerry, when your organization is playing this poorly. They're
right.
Mad at you.
Yes.
And this is classic owner technique. Let's try to get them mad at the players. Let's turn them against the players, which I've always thought, because baseball is great at this, which I always thought is terrible. It is your product. It's who the people are going to see, what they're spending their money on, and it's like, hate that guy. Okay, you know what? I do hate him, and now I'm not buying your tickets. But he's always had ticket sales that, you know, he didn't matter. But I think people are turning on. They see who he is. He's a bully. He doesn't know anything about football. He's an old 82. I just think he turned 82. And it's not going well. And then it's typical Jerry. He tried to pull something today. Now, I don't know if he, like, nudged Troy Aikman, but Troy Aikman was getting on the Cowboys and the receivers. And did you see this?
No.
So let me pull up what Aikman was saying. Because Aikman was talking about the routes that are being run and basically putting the blame at the feet of Mike McCarthy, that the offense is sloppy. They look lazy. And then Jerry Jones comes out reacting to that, and he's like, well, you know, he's got a lot of credibility. So I like, it almost seems like he kind of nudged Aikman to take a shot at McCarthy so then he could, in a roundabout way, take a shot at McCarthy.
Right.
Hey, this old cowboy, he knows football. My head coach doesn't, which brings us to the end game. Why is Mike McCarthy there?
Well,
he's been ripping him and having him as a lame duck coach. Why did you bring him back?
Yep.
And you know what, Cowboy fans? I don't feel bad for you. You deserve all of it.
It's going to be a long season, I
think. Let's follow up on this because I want to read you what McCarthy said and what Jerry Jones said. But, yeah, it's tumult. It's a mess again in Dallas. And now those 12-win seasons, that's not even on the horizon.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here we're just talking about the mess that the Cowboys are. Alex White, Cofield, hanging out here. Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. Stop in. Great prizes, including tickets to Friday's game. Football game right here in town. There's another game in town. Chiefs and Raiders, but college football game, UNLV and Boise State. Troy Aikman ripped McCarthy about the routes that the receivers are running. Talked about play looking lazy. McCarthy responded to Aikman saying they don't carry any weight, his words, Aikman's words, don't carry any weight with me because I watched all the tape. I go to the meetings, I'm at practice, I'm part of the game. So I have a clear understanding of what and where. Troy's statement in particular, I don't agree with the word selection. And then Jerry Jones wasn't basically, he backed what Troy Aikman said. So more tumult.
Instead of having his head coaches back.
Yep. Which often happens, and that's why he cycles through coaches, if not every 3 years. Well, that's actually a misnomer. Because he's so cheap, he won't fire coaches, but he makes our life miserable the last couple of years. So what does this guy want?
I think we know what he wants. I just think it's out of reach at this moment.
It's not.
It's not?
No. Well, at this moment, yes. Yeah. He's kind of dug his own grave with Mike McCarthy. If he doesn't like McCarthy, he shouldn't have brought him back. There were a lot of people who thought, hey, you know, compete a couple of years ago, actually, for the guy that I think he really wanted, which is Sean Payton. But Payton wasn't going to wait and got a sweetheart deal. And by sweetheart, I mean lots of money. and ultimately, that's the problem with Jerry Jones. His story is kind of phony in that he's the all aggressive rich guy. Like, he doesn't spend money. I'll tell you right now, I would, if I were him in the offseason, an 82, any day could be the last day. Not to be morbid, but if I want to win football and I've got tens of billions of dollars, I'm going to get the best GM coach combo in the league. So who is that? Ooh. You're not going to get Reed and Veach.
Right.
Reed's not leaving. But so I would go even further and saying I would get the best young coach and GM combo.
Can you go for Sean McVay in LA right now?
That's one of the first ones I thought of. And his GM, or I think the coach I would love to have, it would be Kevin O'Connell. I don't know about management, but I want Kevin O'Connell. Or I'll be crazy. I think that the GM in Detroit is awesome, and he's a Rams guy. But here's what I would do. Here's the package, right? $20 million for the coach and GM, and then you still have a very robust budget for the assistant coaches.
Yeah,
like. There is no arguing with $20 million. Or whatever it needs to be. $25 million then. A year for the combo. And then he could get a wake-up call because they could all be like, are you going to be in the meetings every day? Then it's $50 million.
Ooh.
But that's, that's, in the end, that's what you do.
Yeah.
If you are a billionaire and you want to win football games, stop being budget conscious and talking out of both sides of your mouth and threatening people because they have the gall and the temerity to ask you tough questions on a radio interview. So it's just, this is, Jerry Jones has been the gift that gives for 25 years now, 22 years since they won, and he couldn't get along. That's the other thing. He couldn't let the other guys get the shine and the credit, like Jimmy Johnson and even Barry Switzer. And he has effed this up for 20 years.
And now, like you were saying, I don't know if they're going to have a nice 12-win regular season, and then, you know, we know what happens in the playoffs. But even their schedule coming up is pretty tough. They've got the Niners at Atlanta, host the Eagles, division game right there. Texans, Commanders, yes.
Now the freaking – I'll tell you what, that's a – and we'll try to hit on that game with Sammy P coming up here in about 6 minutes. I am fascinated to see what the markets do with the Commies and the fact that Jaden Daniels is going to be down. We don't know officially. Might be available. I think I would be careful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Mariota, he did a solid job. I don't think he's great, but he's a solid backup. I'm really curious to see what the markets do in that one. So you heard it. Sammy P is on the way. He's a favorite of Oasis. I wish he was here, but he's back east, and he's going to break things down, leans and likes in college and pro football.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
If you want to watch the show live, go up to ESPN Las Vegas on Facebook, at ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter. It's on YouTube. Alex White, Steve Cofield, you heard it, Oasis Bar and Grill on this Tuesday. Sammy P is in. Sam, what's going on, buddy? Say hi to Alex.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Steve. Hi, Oasis. How we doing?
Sammy P. There you go. Johnny, who last night had the Monday Night Maniacs going hard. I was here last night. It was good.
I've been known to go hard in there from time to time, but yeah, I don't get there as much as I'd like to. I'm only there twice a year now these days.
So let's talk about some of the action going on tonight before we get to all football with NBA. And hockey. All right, Lakers with the James stuff on tap. Let's talk about, well, your feelings on that and also the game. And J.J. Redick making his debut here as a head coach.
Somebody asked us today, we got a message on our show about J.J. Redick, coach of the year. And I thought, I don't even know where to start. We've never seen a guy come from a podcaster to a head coach. There's no precedent. There's no history there. He has, whether we realize it or not, he has slowly taken this roster, though, and, you know, drafting Dalton Connect and adding a guy like Max Christie. Last year they added Gabe Vincent. This has turned into a 3-and-D team, Steve. This has turned into a team that will draw doubles with Davis and LeBron and kick out to open shooters. That's what they're going to do. And this seems like it's sort of been a work in progress. So now LeBron comes down Main Street. He's got Russell in one corner. He's got Vincent in another. He's got Connect on the wing. If that offense actually works and they can win 55 games, he can win.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but like if it boils from the inside out, it could be a train wreck. I have no idea.
I think I would roll the dice on him as coach of the year if the number's good, because I was thinking more like 52 wins, be, say, maybe the fourth seed. Maybe that won't be enough wins, but be in that range. And I just think the story itself with the, you know, the magnitude of the coverage around the Lakers, he would be, I don't want to say a sympathetic choice. He'd be a popular choice from a positive story standpoint.
No doubt. I'm not a Lakers guy this year, big picture. I could be wrong, though. I'm not saying that that's absolute. The win total is about 43.5. They're basically a coin flip to make the playoffs. So if they can win, like I said, 55 games or so with an older core and a younger supporting cast, it's going to take somebody that can keep that room together and gel those guys. If he can do it, it'll be a fascinating story. As for tonight, I only made one bet, Anthony Edwards over 25.5 points. I don't think there's a guy on the Lakers that can stop him.
I like it. Sammy, what were J.J. Redick's odds to be coach of the year?
So I saw a 30-1 at BetMGM. I'm sure there's a higher number if you shop around. I mean, there's probably a 40 or a 50-1. You know, Tom Thibodeau, for reference, is the odds-on favorite, and he's in that 6-7-1 range. So, I mean, there's a huge gap there. One book in Vegas has J.J. Redick 25-1. You always have to shop around to get the best number. It's like, you know, the NBA sixth man award. You know, one guy could be 8-1 here and 20-1 over there. There's a huge range because bettors take stances and then bookmakers also take stances. So let's call it a 25-40-1 range on J.J. Redick. Are we interested? Anybody?
I
agree. That's my reaction, too.
I don't think I'm jumping in right now. So you have one prop bet in NBA. I like it. You know, we have 16 hockey games going on tonight. Did you make any bets in hockey?
This is not just me playing to the crowd, which I'm known to do. I'm known to do it very well. I bet Vegas at minus 120. I did. I think this is a tough spot for the Kings. And the Kings have really survived that injury to Drew Doughty, which has been remarkable. They've come out of the chute pretty well, but I think Vegas defends home ice tonight. I did lay 120.
Coming off a tough road trip, the Golden Knights, so they do need to get back on the winning side.
Alex White is here from South Point Studios from BetQL. It's Sammy P, Sam Paniatovich. First, I got to direct this to Alex. Are they still open down at South Point? Can you do the shows? We didn't shut it down. Sam, isn't that amazing? We get a couple of weeks. I was talking to our friend who's a bookmaker who will hang out here every once in a while at Oasis, and he was like, well, rough week. And then I fired back at him. I'm like, you'll be fine. You're going to make it back. But right now, the public has had some weeks here this season where everything went the right way for the public.
Yeah, another weekend where it's not just the favorites, it's the public favorites. And I had a buddy text me last night. He's in this weekly pool, and he has to pick six games against the spread. Six, not five. I usually pick five in all the contests that I'm in. So he sends me a screenshot last night. Not only did he make the six bets in the contest, but he parlayed all six. And it was Buffalo minus the points, Cincinnati minus the points, Jacksonville minus the points. There's another big favorite that came through. Losing my train of thought here. And the last one was Baltimore. So it was five favorites. They all came through. And he's like, what do you think I should do? And he sends me the ticket. It's a $20 bet to win $1,800. Just favorites. Just six favorites, you know? And I think he played some alts in there. So it was he extrapolated the odds a little bit. He like might have laid 10 instead of 7, you know, just to get creative and have fun with it. And after the Ravens win, 41-31, after being down 10-0, they win and they cover. He texts me back, this NFL's pretty easy, huh?
Well,
I thought to myself, yep, that's it. It's that easy. Just bet every favorite, every popular favorite, and parlay them together. That'll do it.
All right, what are we doing this week? Because we have at least, what, three games up on the board in the NFL with double-digit favorites.
I hate myself. I hate the way I am. I will be taking one, if not both, of these dogs. They are hideous. They are ugly. But I'm betting a number, not a team. I will take Tennessee, getting 11.5. I can get 12 right now at the South Point against Detroit. And look, ooh, the 10s are gone. I missed that move. Damn it. Yeah, I was making a little dinner, and I missed the 10s. They took the 10s off the board. Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore off the win of the season on Monday night. Lamar throws five touchdowns. He's the MVP favorite. He's better than Mahomes. And now they win by three at Cleveland. That's how the NFL I grew up with goes. Maybe not this new NFL, Steve.
Sammy P is with us. I think it'll return to normal, I think. But, yeah, we're pretty far into the season. The favorites have been hitting at a pretty good rate. I know Alex wanted to talk about MVP. Sam, I saw your comment midweek last week, and you're like, how is Patrick Mahomes with these numbers the favorite? Things have changed a little bit, right?
He's still the second favorite. And look, this is not an indictment of Mahomes. I'm not saying Mahomes sucks or he isn't great in the playoffs. I'm saying he's not the most valuable player in football right now. He's just not. And if you think he is, I need to get some of the drinks or the smoke that you got, because we're not watching the same games. Here are the quarterbacks that have more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go quickly here. Mayfield, Jackson, Love, Burrow, Darnold, Allen, Rodgers, Cousins, Goff, Stroud, Murray, Lawrence, Purdy, Williams, Smith, Carr, Prescott, Flacco, Dalton, Hurts. There are 20 quarterbacks that have more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes. And it's not just a touchdown award, I understand. But he has six touchdowns and eight interceptions. He didn't beat San Francisco. Brock Purdy threw three interceptions against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are dangerous. The Chiefs are the best team in the game. He's the most lethal quarterback in the postseason. But he is not the MVP of the league to this point. If he turns it around and plays well down the stretch, great. But the reason he's the second favorite is because people bet him like crazy, and there's no reason to make him 8 or 9 or 10 to 1 because they're going to bet him at 4 to 1. So you don't need to write that high liability. Let people bet him at bad numbers, He's not the MVP right now. He's just not. It's crazy to me that people think that he is. And then the argument is, well, he's won the last two Super Bowls. So what? Who cares? We're talking about this season. MVP of this season. Not last Super Bowl. Not two Super Bowls ago. Don't move the goalposts.
So who are we looking at then, Sammy? Because Jared Goff, his number has gone down now, his odds, since he just had another great game. But he's playing fantastic this year. Josh Allen, I was making a case for him because he had no interceptions going into Sunday. And now he has Amari Cooper, so he has a whole nother target. Anybody else that you're looking at that you would bet for MVP?
So I do have some Allen at a better number. I have some 9-1 on him. And the other guy that I added was Burrow at 30-1 a couple weeks ago. I can't sit here, Alex, and say, hey, go bet Lamar or Goff or Allen right now, because the prices are just, they're so bad. I mean, Lamar is 250 right now. Allen is, you know, 4-5-1. Goff is 6-7-1. I mean, I don't love those prices either. It's so convoluted. It's so top heavy with Jackson, Allen, Goff, and Mahomes. If you're looking for a bigger price on a guy that might get hot, the Bengals are finally healthy on defense, and I think that's a team that has proven to us they can get on a run, get hot. They're finally healthy on offense, too, with Chase and Higgins. They're running the ball well. If you're looking for a longer shot for a nice return on investment, Joe Burrow at, you know, 18-20-1, I don't think is the worst idea. But you can't be chasing the favorites now because the value's all gone.
I can't argue with that, Joe Burrow, at all. Now, Sammy, I don't like to brag too often, but you and I had a pretty good Saturday. We talked at 7 before all the football games in college. Let's dive into some college right now. And there's a big game here in town for the UNLV Rebels hosting Boise State. Let's start off with this, with Ashton Gentry right now. Is the shortest odds to win the Heisman? Are you buying that?
No, not at the price. I mean, he was 100-1 before the season, and now he's 2-1 or 250. I think UNLV is going to win the game. I know I can't ask you to because you guys are very close to the situation, wink, wink. I think they are going to win, and that's a Friday night game. There's been some weird stuff happening on Friday nights this year. Late game, too, so I'll be sleeping at 10:30 Eastern when that one kicks off. Not. I do think UNLV is going to win, and you can take a nice price on the money line there, like plus 150. I think the Rebs get it done on Friday.
Money line of the Rebels, and they're a 3-point dog right now, so maybe a little bit on the.
I feel like the description that we can't speak on it. I think Alex certainly can. I will. I look at it. I'm a massive Ashton Gentry fan, and I don't mean I'm rooting for him. I just have so much respect for that guy. Man, taking the points, and I hope UNLV comes up with a run defense that can stop the run in both halves. He's tough, man. I know that's not – it's very simplistic analysis, but you watch behemoths of college football, you basically are waiting for someone to come up with a formula to freaking stop him. Maybe they can do it.
Okay, so you sound nervous. I take that from that comment you made. But, Steve, you also – when we were talking about the drop-off from Sluka to Malik Williams, you were like, yeah, don't worry. It's going to be fine. And it was.
Yeah.
So I'm putting a little bit of faith in the Rebs. I also – somebody told me this morning that's very sharp, and this is not my take, it's his take. He says Navy's beating Notre Dame. And I thought – okay, maybe I'll just take the 13 and be safe. And he said, no, they're going to win. And I almost fell off my chair. I mean, Notre Dame is a 13-point favorite in the game. This guy is adamant that Navy is going to win. Moneyline price on Navy, you can get 4-1 at the Superbook. Almost 4-1 at Circa. He's calling a shot. He thinks ND is going down. I love that aggressiveness. Yep. I will probably just take the points.
What a weekend of college football. Sammy, we're up against it. Make sure everyone out there, you listen to BetQL. Get up on the app. Sam, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got it. Peace and love, Oasis.
There he is. Sammy P, we'll get into UNLV a little bit at the top and more projections on that Boise game. Back to the NFL with Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk.